Yes, yes.
Says good beer tonight.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Just wondering.
Amen. Yes,
good. Turn my volume up in my ears. Here's the Bible. I'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. Stupid wire. We get sick now here in a minute. From 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 37 and 40. This here is where Solomon is rededicating the temple and everything, and he's praying a prayer. And in verse 37, it says, "If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward the house, toward this house, then hear thou in heaven by dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart knowest thou knowest. For thou, even thou, only knowest the hearts of all the children of men." Verse 40, "that they may fear thee all the days, and they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers." Yes. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for a chance to preach. I pray, God, that you'd use the word of God, Lord, and help me, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
God, I mess up a lot, and you just have to help me. I pray, God, that you'd be one here lost, God, that they might see the need of Jesus tonight. Yeah. And God, everybody needs Jesus Christ in their heart.
Yeah.
There's a hell waiting if they don't get saved. I pray, God, you'd bless those that are sick, all those that the names is called out that are sick, and that little girl and different ones. God, I pray, God, you put your touch upon them. I ask you, God, to bless each of you, everyone here tonight, God, and help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit here on the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. Here, they was redoing, dedicating the temple and setting it up and everything. And he told them down here in verse 38, he said, I'll start verse 30. "What prayer and supplication soever be made by man or by thy people Israel, this is which shall know every man the plague of his heart." And you say, what's that talking about? It's talking about your sinful heart.
Right.
And he says it again over there in the next verse, talks about the plague. And in this time and day, even back then, there's different things about the heart. And our ways are determined by our hearts.
Sure.
The way we do and what we say is determined by our hearts.
Sure.
You can tell me all you want to that you want to go out that door, but if you don't go out that door, your heart wasn't in it.
Right.
Your heart's got to be in it, whatever you're going to do, because your way depends on it. It depends on what your heart, in your heart. 1 Kings 8:38 says, "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward the house. And then hear thou the heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of God." God knows your heart.
Right.
I mean, God knows who was going to be here and who wasn't. It was just, you put it in your mind that you was going to be in the house of God, but it was in your heart to be here. Your heart leads you to do what you want to do. I mean, I got in a lot of trouble a lot of times because my heart led me into doing something different. When I knew it wasn't right, and I did it anyway, I let somebody talk me into it. And, you know, let somebody nudge me on. You ever do that? And they get, you get in trouble, and they get, oh, I don't know nothing about it. Then here you are standing in all trouble.
Right.
And then you get the fire beat out of you for it. I mean, but your heart is the it determines the way you're going, and that's determined by the heart. In Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew. Now, he's a true Jew. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not to the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, he's a Jew, and he's got in his heart how he's going to do what he's going to do for God, how they live. And that's what we should be as a child of God. You ought to have set in your heart what you're going to do and how you're going to live. That ought to be determine your way of how you're going to live. By way your heart is fixed on God. I mean, we're not fixed on God like we ought to be. We're not determined in our heart that, hey, well, I'm going to do this for the Lord no matter what. We're not fixed like that. But now if you wanted to buy you a new boat or a car or something like that, but when you get it fixed in your heart, you know, I'm talking about worldly things, we'll run out and do it. I'm just as guilty. I get to wanting something, and I'll do everything I can to come up with the money to get it. I mean, you get it in your mind, and then you get it in your heart. You got your heart on it, and then you'll do it. And that's the way it is in the house of God. You get it in your heart that you're going to come in here and you ain't going to get nothing from God. And you done determined it in your heart. And your way has done been determined. And you come in here and you don't get nothing from God. You don't get a smile from you. God don't give you a nudge. God don't touch you because you've done determined in your heart. The ways of your heart has done been determined.
Right.
I mean, if you determine when you come in here, hey, I'm going to praise God and give God glory tonight. I'm going to give God glory for everything. I mean, get your heart fixed on the ways that will determine how your heart's going to be.
Right.
In Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with a fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as in the Lord. It's talking about servants here. And you know, if you work on a job, and you don't go on a job, and a man's paying you to do some work. Say you up there, you working the cash register or something. You don't go up there and badmouth your job to people. That's the singleness here. You know, you don't go on a job and you're bad. You know, your job's paying your growth. That job's feeding you. That job's feeding your family. And that's the way it was the Lord. I mean, I want to be out wherever I'm at. I want people to see in my heart that I'm giving God the praise and I'm not running Him down. I'm living for the Lord. And everything I got comes through the Lord, by the Lord. And that, I mean, there's no other way. I'm not going to run Him down. And I mean, God help me. I'd rather die than run my Savior down. And it says, next verse, it says, not with thy servants and men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's where it's at. It's not in your eyes. You just do it to please people. And you up there, I used to wash dishes in a cafe when I was about 14. And man, I worked like a dog and all that stuff. But boy, when they wasn't looking, I'd sit there and wash them slow. But they'd come in there and I'd wash them faster. That's because they was looking at me. I was wanting to please them with my eyes. But you don't do that with God. You want to give your whole heart to Him. You don't want to just please Him with you. You want Him to be pleased with your whole body.
Yeah.
Give it all to God and please Him.
Yeah.
For He's the one who's looking at you.
Yeah.
And then our ways are determined by our hearts, and God searches the heart in order to give a man according to their ways. He searches your heart. I mean, how do you think you're going to get rewards? I mean, he can look at your ways. You can be over here teaching or doing whatever you want, but in your heart, you're not meaning it. In your heart, in your body, you're sitting here in church, but in your heart, you're at home watching TV.
There you go.
I mean, that's two different things there. If your heart's in it, and you're going to be there, and, you know, a lot of times, I don't care about sports, but a lot of times they have the football games. There's been people who, man, just couldn't wait to get out of church, to get out and watch the Super Bowl and all that. And, but, you know what? If that's where their heart was, they shouldn't even have come to church at night. They should have just stayed at home. If your heart was in it, you would have been in the house of God. When you're here, you ought to be in the house of God instead of your mind out there in the world. Be in here. Be in with the things of God. I mean, too many times we come in the house of God and we ought to search our, God searches our heart in order, you know, to give you rewards according to your work. I mean, you know, we're going to get rewards when we get to heaven. And I don't want no money. You're going to be hay and straw and stubble and stuff like that. And there'll be gold, silver. I don't want mine all burned up and not be nothing there. I want to have some crowns or some jewels to give to God. Yeah. When He judges us, I want to be able to give something to Him. And so He searches the heart in order to give them the men according to their ways. Now, what's in your heart today? What is in your heart? What was in your heart before you come to church? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, "Who? You don't know your heart." I've heard people say, "Well, if I know my own heart." Well, you don't know your own heart. You don't know what you might do in the next 10 minutes. You might walk out this door and shoot somebody. You don't know what you might do. You don't know what's in your heart. That's why there's so much wickedness and vileness today. I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because we're raised up in a generation that hates God. And the old-timers like us who love the Lord and try to live for God and do the right thing, you take your kid and wear his hind end out, like the Bible says. He goes to school and they see a blue mark on him. The next thing you know, here they come and throw the servant. We'll take your kid away from you. The Bible says to take the rod and drive the foolishness from them. And to keep your soul out of hell. I mean, I'm telling you, my daddy wore me out. I'm not dead, Brother Robert. It didn't kill me. When I got in trouble, I was worried about going home facing my daddy. I wasn't worried about other things. But I know when I got home, it was going to be home.
That's good.
You don't have that no more. Oh, and poor little Johnny, he didn't do this, he done that. Oh, he's such a little pitiful kid, don't have no time. And you guys will make excuses for him. He's mean as the devil. Just put it that way. There ain't none of you saints. I wasn't a saint. I was mean as everything.
Right.
And then you blame, you say, well, why is it like cause it's in their heart? He says it's in their heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then in verse 10, says, the Lord searched the heart. He says He searches the heart. And He tried the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing. I'm telling you, there's people in churches, I'm not saying this church, just in churches in general, or anybody in general, they could be going to revivals all the time and doing this, going here, going out, just to make people think, oh boy, they are a good Christian. But in their heart, they don't have it. They don't care. They just go there to go off somewhere or go just to be seen. I don't care to be seen. I come to hear the Word of God. I want to be in the ways of God. So I'll know that it's God gives me rewards and does things for me and bless. Where does your blessings come from? They come from the Lord. Man, God blesses me so much, I don't know which way to go. I tell you what, God is good. He's good to me. But He searches your heart. God searches you. He knows your heart. You don't know it, but God knows your heart. In Proverbs 24:12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, do know he known it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? God knows what you're doing. He knows if you're doing the best you can do. I mean, you get out there and you're doing something, witnessing and trying to tell somebody about the Lord. God knows what you're doing. You ain't got to go around brag to people. That's what gets me about a lot of these preachers. They keep a camp. I couldn't tell you if anybody's ever been saved in the whole 40 years I preached. I've seen them come down. I've seen them go through the motions. But have I ever seen them? You know what I'm saying? It's just, you don't know. I mean, and then you got these preachers get up and brag about all these. See, that's what got me about you. You might get mad at me, whatever, but about Billy Graham, they talking about all these thousands and thousands of being glad to see him when he gets to heaven. I wonder about that.
Amen.
I wonder about that.
Amen.
He ain't no greater preacher than that man sitting there.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, he bent and bowed. He stooped so low that he had him call him Father Graham and put on the robe and everything of a Catholic, and they called him Father Graham. Now, you think God's pleased with that? I got cold chills on that one. I tell you what, I mean, that makes me mad, and I'm just thinking about it. Father Graham. I tell you what, they dress like women, and then they want to call them father. I tell you, what's wrong with them? They're crazy. I mean, either they're a woman or a man, or what are they?
Go ahead, brother.
And then they got to do that tic-tac-toe, you know, and three in a row, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Yeah. Oh, count them beads. Got to count them beads.
Yeah.
I'd forget the daggum number. I'd end up starting over every time
because
I'd mess up. I ain't going to get you nowhere. I ain't going to get you nowhere. You ain't going to get nowhere crawling up the steps on your knees for repentance. That ain't going to help you. I can repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk face to face. Hallelujah. I ain't got to look through some stupid little hole and talk to some man on the other side who's probably a daggum drunkard. Ain't God, I'm glad I know straight to Jesus Christ and I can get in the cross in the holy glory and room with God. Ain't God. And I'm getting touched and get up close to God and being really close and I can speak to the Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
I ain't got to have somebody talking for me.
Right.
No, sir, buddy.
Amen.
I'll never forget when I was a little bitty thing. I don't know a little bitty thing. And they come up there and go baptize me and put that water on my head. And I'm trying to get it off. Oh, what are they doing? They're putting water on my head. I didn't know about all that stuff. And I was raised Lutheran, y'all know that, but I tell you, I'm glad I was raised as a child like that. I'm glad when I got bigger and God saved my soul. God took me in the right way, the only way. There is no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the blood of the Lamb of God. If it was not for the blood, we'd all go to hell. I'll tell you what. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't trust in the soul. You don't put trust in men. And men can pat you on the back. And
right.
It was thousands and thousands. I think they said 6,000 something one day over at Billy Graham. And I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, one day, 6,000 something. Next day, 5,000 something. He's getting all his rewards here on the earth. He got them all here.
Yeah.
I don't know what he'll get up to heaven. I don't know. I don't know if he went to heaven.
Right.
You don't know if I go to heaven.
That's right.
I don't know if you're going.
Yeah.
Only one knows is you and God.
That's right.
You're the one that was down there done business with God.
Right.
Wasn't me. I wasn't with you. There wasn't none of y'all with me.
Right.
I was down by myself.
Yeah.
And when I cried out to God, and all I could say is, don't want to go to hell. And he walked through, he cut to his ears that I was begging for forgiveness. Thank God I'm glad he said he understood what I was talking about. He knows the very intent of my heart.
Amen.
I might not have said all those words I was supposed to say. That just showed me I said them one time and done all that stuff. That didn't get me saved, Brother Robert. And I got down and got down and talked to God in business and poured my heart out to God. All I could say is, I don't want to go to hell. And God said, son, you're not going to hell. Hallelujah. Thank God he said, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the blood of the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I can remember that night right now when God saved me. Oh, what a grand night. I didn't realize what happened, preacher. I didn't realize what happened. It took me about a week to realize it. But I tell you what, when Sunday, when Wednesday come around, my wife said, are we going to go to church? She said, what are we going to do? I said, yes, sir. I said, we're going to church tonight. And you know what? I've been going ever since. That was 1976.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that blood, I'm glad God, the heart of the matter was Jesus Christ was in the midst of it. Jesus, the heart of the matter is the heart stirs man up to do the right action. In a man's heart. I mean, when you're in the house of God, just like God gets to praise and people get talking about God. Boy, I tell you, my heart gets stirred up. And boy, I get all pumped up and I want to do the right thing. I want to shout and praise God. I want to give Him glory. I want to lift His name up.
Yeah.
We get to heaven, what you going to do? Just sit there? No, you'll be praising God, giving God glory.
Yeah.
I might as well get ready for it, unless you're not going. That's a different subject there. Over in Exodus 35:5 says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is a willing heart, let him bring in an offering unto the Lord in gold, silver, and brass. It says of a willing heart.
Yeah.
You know, you put your money in a plate. And you know, I heard this joke one time about he got a little boy, put his money in the plate, and he watched the plate go all the way down to the end, and watched it go by, and went back there, because he's watching his money. Oh, he should have kept that money. I mean, he's little, didn't know. But that's the way some grown-ups are. They won't say, their tithes might be $10.15. Or why give the? Why not just make it $11?
Yeah.
Give God the extra. I'm worried about the 15 cents. I mean, there's people like that.
Sure.
I don't know how I got off on that one. But doing the right act and in the heart stirs man up to the right action. Yeah. It's the right action. In Exodus 35:21, and they came, every one of us, every one whose heart stirred up him, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the table of the congregation, and all of his service, and all of the hope for the holy garments. I tell you, we ought to be happy. We ought to be thankful. We ought to praise God for what He's done for us. For He's given us a good church to go to, a good preacher. Give us brothers and sisters in Christ and loves you and cares about you. I mean, I've been in churches before where these people couldn't stand these over here. And, you know, you've been there probably before. I mean, where people can't stand each other. But I'm glad I'm in a church where the love of God is. And
thank you, Lord.
Well, sure, you get your heart stirred up, and the Lord's in the midst of it, and the Lord to come among it and do something out of it.
Yeah.
Something will come of it. Somebody will get saved in the service.
Right.
Somebody will get born again.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, John, when he got there, I'll tell you what, bless me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I felt like I was in a birthing room that night.
Yeah,
I thought I was in there and one of my grandbabies was being born. Boy, that was good that night.
Yeah.
That's something you can't forget. I still feel it. I still feel it when he's at the mountains with them young kids. I said, dry, high, he ain't going to get over.
No.
I mean, we wasn't drunk that night, but we was drunk in the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, God won't let me get over it. Thank God. I've been drunk before, and thank God, next day later, I'm glad that I was, but couldn't remember none of it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, since I've been saved, I enjoy every minute that God lets me get in something.
Right. Yes,
boy, I've been in all kind of services and praising God and seeing God move and God do things. And but the heart stirs man up to do the right actions. In Exodus 35:29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work for which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hands. I mean, here they brought the offering to them. And God looked at it and saw what they did. And looked down on them. And in 1 Kings 14:8 says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David. And gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Oh, Jeroboam, he didn't do what was right in God's eyes. Amen. And God took it away from him. But you say, well, David didn't do right. Yeah, well, why did the Bible say that David was a man after God's own heart? His flesh didn't do right, but his spirit was right. You see, he's let his flesh get a hold of him. But, and then the next thing I see here is that the failure to serve God is a failure of the heart.
Right.
If you're not serving God, you're failing in your heart.
Right.
I mean, Psalms 95:10, 40 years long was I grieved this generation and said it is a people that do err in their words and they have not known my ways. They went 40 years and still couldn't get it right. Still didn't know the ways of God.
Right.
I mean, there's people today like that. They go for years in a church and supposed to be God's house and God in it. And you got preachers not preaching the word. And therefore, people not getting saved, not That's getting right. born again. People dying and going to hell. Never heard the word of God. I tell you what, I believe it'll be a hot time in hell for that preacher when you're not preaching the word of God.
Sure.
Now, I believe there's different degrees in hell. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe you get down there, I believe if you live wicked life, a wicked, wicked life, you're going to burn hot. I believe someone who just didn't know God, didn't live right, wasn't saved, they're not going to burn like that wicked person did. I believe that. But I ain't going to find it out, though, because I ain't going. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 18:12 says, and they said there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Can you man, that's what they're doing today in this day and time. They do everything is evil in their heart, they're doing it. And these people going in killing them kids, that's the evilness that's been taught to them. That's coming from the people, from the generation who kicked God out of the house of God, who took the Ten Commandments down. That's coming from people who don't have Bible study and don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance no more. And we're raising a bunch of heathens up in this day and time. And they don't know God. And they see, all they know is guns and shooting and all that. There ain't nothing wrong with guns. I got a bunch of guns. I don't make me want to go around and shoot everybody. I can take a pencil, and if I get mad, go and jab your eye out with a pencil. Jab you in the heart, probably kill you with a pencil. Hey, it ain't what you got, it's what's in your heart.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's what's in the heart that counts.
Yes, sir.
And, but God, the failure to serve God is the failure of the heart. I mean, when you don't serve God, you're not doing what God tells you. You're failing. You're failing. You know, it's a failure. And you come in the house of God, and God tells you, I mean, you know different than me. And I know when God starts nudging me to testify. I know I can feel it. I can feel that little quiver start getting in my legs and stuff. And God telling you to testify. Then if you don't do it, you grieve the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
You should have stood up and testified. How many times could we have had a great, wonderful service if you would all listen to God?
Right.
We just listen to God. I've had the preacher call and tell me to stand and testify. Well, God just told me right before he told me. But see, I didn't do it till you said it.
Right.
It's funny how God tells him things that he's telling you and you won't listen. He has to call your name out. I mean, that's what's happening. And then I got saved, that man of God was up there preaching, and I just told my wife a few weeks before that, I said, well, it ain't going to hurt me just to drink a beer with my brother, just to be sociable. And that old preacher, he pointed his finger down at me. He said, you said it ain't going to hurt to drink one beer and be sociable. I thought, who told him? God told him that.
Right.
God knew my heart.
Right.
It was in the, God knows what's in your heart. Hey, God, you come here and a preacher will talk, and you'll say, well, who told him that?
Yeah.
Surely somebody went and told the preacher what I said. But it's God, you don't think God can talk to the man of God. But God seeks for those who have a right heart. He seeks for them who's got a right heart. Their heart's right. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. He's out. The devil's searching for people. He's searching who he may devour. And so God searches for the people's heart. He looks at your heart. He said, I'd make a good servant there. I'd make a good preacher there. He searches your heart out. And then God tests man to see what's in his heart. He'll test you to see what's in your heart. He'll put a test on you. In Deuteronomy 8:1, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may may live and multiply and go into the possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And you look at this spiritual here. I mean, you get saved, and that's a land there that you're going to. I mean, my home's in heaven. And you're going to fight for it down here, just like they fought for this land. You're going to fight all the way to heaven. You're going to have a fight with the devil. I mean, if you think it's easy to be a Christian, you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you can glide on. You can just slide around on somebody's coattail. But I'm talking about if you're a child of God and you take a stand and you feel witness for the Lord and a testimony, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have some battles in your life. You're going to have some conflicts that come about where people, they say, that guy's crazy. And they just say, listen to him. He says he's a preacher or he's a Christian. Listen to him. Why? Because you're telling them the truth.
Yeah, right.
They don't like the truth.
Right.
People don't, you're the flesh. It doesn't like the truth. The flesh doesn't like the truth. It doesn't like it because God puts these tests on you. And it says in verse 8, 2 says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I mean, God put him to a test and to see what was in their heart.
Yes.
But it wasn't in their heart. They didn't have it. And it was all time up one dime, down the next. Up, down.
Oh, yeah.
Be praising God for taking over this village, this city, and then be bad-mouthing God because of something else.
Amen.
I mean, we just like them. I mean, really, honestly, you get down to it.
Right.
You cry, boy, you're happy one day. Next day, you got your head dragging the ground.
Sure.
I know that because I do that.
We do.
I mean, you think you should be on the mountaintop all the time. Hey, I know what's in the last chapter. If you've read the Bible, you know what's in the last chapter. We got the victory.
Yeah.
But we don't have it here because we don't have the time. We're down instead of up. We ought to be out walking where God have us be.
Yeah.
Let people see what Christianity is all about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we let the flesh get a hold of us when we ought to be walking in the Spirit more. In Deuteronomy 13:1 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and a sign, the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after our gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. And thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I mean, these guys come along and they get on there and they act like they heal people. And I said act because that's what they do. They do all this acting and stuff. And you think, well, man, they got the power. God says, don't follow them.
Right.
I mean, if you're a child of God, follow God.
Right.
Follow the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, somebody was telling me a few weeks ago, he went to one of them healing things.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a woman up there. I was wrong to start with. And he said she come over there and grabbed him by the head and just pushed him. And said he didn't move. Said he just stood there. And said she pushed him again. And said he was supposed to just fell back. That's to get it in your mind. They want you to have it in your mind that God's zapping you in the head and healing you. Well, he didn't have that mind, and he just stood there and strived three times and she went to somebody else. I mean, if she hadn't prayed to God, she was knocking him down in the spirit, well, why didn't she do him?
Right.
And his spirit wasn't willing.
Right.
This stuff you see on TV, that's fake. It's fake.
Yeah.
I tell you, I mean, if you see these magicians remove the towers or remove an elephant off the stage and all this stuff, well, what do you think these people are doing?
Right.
They ain't nothing but magicians and heathens. Get up there pulling the wool over your eyes.
Right. That's right.
That's all he's doing. 2 Chronicles 32 and 31. Howbeit is the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon sent to him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God left him to try him that he might know. Might know all that was in his heart. Oh, Hezekiah, there, the prince come in there, they put a little platter on him, told him what a great man he was, and talked him up, you know, and give him gifts. So what did Hezekiah do? He went around, now he was a good king, but he was stupid. He goes around and takes them all over the place, all over the kingdom in there, and shows them the structure of the walls, shows them all the weapons they have, all the material they got, shows them everything they got.
Yeah.
And then God left him for that. God, you do. God tests you sometimes, and He sees your heart and sees how your heart is.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I've been tested many times, and I'm afraid I've failed a lot of times. And then last of all, our heart must be stirred up and prepared to serve the Lord.
Yes.
You gotta prepare your heart to serve the Lord. You gotta read this Bible. You gotta pray. You gotta prepare and get built up in the Spirit. Because there's a fleshly world out there every day that's gonna come up against you. It's gonna fight you every day. The devil's gonna be up against you. If the devil's not bothering you, I say you're not saved. Because if you're saved and born again, the devil's gonna affect you some way, somehow. He's gonna bother you.
Right.
There'll be a battle somewhere. In the 2 Chronicles 30:12, also in Judah, in the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandments of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. One heart. I'm glad God put that heart in me.
Yes, sir.
He saved my soul. I don't know how he took the heart and the flesh. He circumcised the flesh from the spirit. And thank God, I'm glad my heart was changed.
Yeah.
And in Ezra, last of all, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He prepared his heart and seek the law of the Lord.
Amen.
Are we preparing our heart today? Are you going through life being mad and aggravated, being, you know, over Psalms 103, it said, fret not. Are we getting all aggravated and discouraged and getting down and out because we're not preparing ourselves? We're not got our heart in tune with God and got our heart on fire for the Lord and get the Word of God in you daily and be able to fight the devil with? Hey, he's seeking you out. He knows who he wants to attack next. He knows who in this church he can attack and get them out of church. He knows that. He knows if you're weak or not. He's telling you right now, you ought to be stronger. You ought to listen and be prepared. You ought to have a strong heart. You ought to have a heart willing to do the will of God. The heart is the root and the mouth is the fruit. I just got that. I've learned that from somewhere and that's true. That's the truth. Your heart is the root of what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
What prayer and supplication shall ever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, we shall know every man the plague of his heart, of his own heart. What's plaguing your heart tonight? What kind of plague's on your heart that you're not doing the will of God?
Right.
There's something there. There's something on everybody's heart that you're not doing the whole will of God. You could do something about it if you would. I could do something about it. I want to do something about it. I don't like living not being in the direct will of God. I want to be in the direct will of God.
Sure.
Every head bowed, every eye shut. Father, I preach to the Lord what you give me.
Yes.
God, I tried to say everything that you laid on my heart. I pray, God, you might go out and speak to somebody's heart that's here tonight.
Yes.
And God, they're not saved, Lord. They're going to die and go to the devil's hell. God, they might be 30-something years old. They might be 20. No matter how old it is, does not matter. They die and go to hell. 48 years old, I had a heart attack. And I could have died and went to heaven because I was saved, thank God. But as many people die, 38, 35, these little kids die. What's the plague of your heart? What's plaguing you from having a heart that's right with God? What's keeping you from having the power of God in your life? What's in your heart tonight? Father, I pray, God, right now that you'll deal with each and every heart. God, you'll help me, Lord. I pray, God, that anyone here lost, that you might let them get saved. God, they think this is a game. That they're laughing in their heart. But God, they won't be laughing when that time comes and they die and they go to hell and they burn him. The fire is real in hell. The golden street is real in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, preacher.
And appreciate the preach word. I tell you, that's the message of the hour. I believe we need that more than anything else. Our heart, create in me a clean heart. Renew that right spirit within me. The Bible says, the blessed are the pure.